has finally rolled around. 5 p.m. Friday. 90.3 WHBC, WHBC HD. Here to get us kick off this weekend together. I'm Tom Ryan, your host for the next hour. I really appreciate you tuning in to hang out with us for a bit. Lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan here, taking care of the boards. And checking me out, making sure that I keep things together. Now, on Fridays, you've been calling the show How Music Changed for quite a while. I don't know how many years it has been, but a lot of them. And we're on a series now dedicated to the life and music of Jimi Hendrix. And today is an interesting show because this is part four. It took us a while to get here. 3 one-hour shows. And yet this is the first time that we're going to be able to play a song that might have been heard by the public at the time that it was recorded. By Jimi Hendrix, I should, to clarify. We spent the first three shows playing Jimmy as a participant in other people's music, as a sideman, and a couple of odds and ends of live tracks and things like that, things that you would have had to have been like one in 100 million that you might have been one of the people that might have seen Jimmy live before this specific point in time where we are now covering. When he was on tour, perhaps around Europe, being the warm-up act for Johnny Hallyday and things like that. So I'm calling this show part four, Getting Experienced, because at this point in time, it would be safe to say that Jimmy was the one who was getting, quote unquote, experienced. Just months before what we're about to talk about in today's show, Hendrix neither sang nor wrote his own songs. And suddenly, with this show, we're going to be able to cover two hit singles in England, but not yet released in America. So everything that we're going to hear today was absolutely unknown to us in the United States at this point in time. Well, he was also working on an album and performing on British Radio 1. And now that's pretty prestigious, because if he's going to be on Radio 1, that means that he is something of a star already. And he only had two British 7-inch singles under his belt. So he was like an instantly famous in England. Nobody in America knew. There were maybe 20 people in the States who knew who he was. Some of them were his ex-managers. So eventually that will change. But with part four, what we're going to do is we're going to play the A-sides and the B-sides of both singles, and we're going to have them sandwich his first performance that was taped on radio for Radio 1. So, regarding Hey Joe, Hendrix recorded the basic track at Delane Lee Studios in London, including a lead vocal. But neither he nor Chandler considered that effort to be his best performance. So, you see, while Chandler's faith in Hendrix's abilities was unshakable, Jimmy himself held very deep reservations about the quality of his voice prior to the first recording session. "It was the first time I ever tried to sing on a record, actually," admitted Jimmy. "I was too scared to sing." Imagine that. That's pretty hard to believe. The thing is, none of this would have happened if Chaz Chandler didn't have an unbelievable obsession with the song Hey Joe. He thought that that was going to be a key to a hit. And when he heard Hendrix playing it in New York a few months earlier, he was like, "That's the guy. I'm going to bring him to England and we're going to record it." So he had this whole thing in his head. It was all Chaz Chandler, the ex bass player for the Animals, who got all this put together for Hendrix, got him into the studio to record Hey Joe. So that's exactly where we're at now. And it became the A-side, the very first disc of with the name Jimi Hendrix on it. Jimi Hendrix Experience with Hey Joe as the A-side. Here is that recording.
Hey, Joe.
Well, if you're gonna release an A-side on a 45, you got to put something else on the other side. And Jimmy is just, it's amazing. He sounds incredibly confident on the vocal on that track, right? I mean, you would never guess in a million years that he was almost afraid to sing. But I guess that's kind of natural. I think anytime anybody hears their voice for the first time, they're usually a bit perplexed by it. But they had to do something for the B-side. So Jimmy Chandler Chaz Chandler would bring Jimmy to a host of different London studios trying to perfect Jimmy's take on the song Hey Joe. And when it was finally mastered, the group had to focus on what they were going to do for the flip side of the single. Now, this became a problem right away because this is the same problem they had when the Experience tried to put together their live repertoire. Jimi Hendrix had no original material. He hadn't written anything with the group yet. So the guitarist, Jimmy, said that they should maybe do a cover of Land of a Thousand Dances and make that the B-side. But Chaz Chandler refused, saying, no, you've got to compose a song of your own. You've got to do something original. So Hendrix basically took him up at it and rose to the challenge. And he wrote a song called Stone Free, the very first song that Hendrix had ever composed for the Experience. It was recorded and mixed in a single day. All that Jimmy had to do was basically think about his own lifestyle. He was the type of guy that couldn't sit still. He would constantly move from place to place. He couldn't really have an apartment because he hated staying even in his own house or in his own room for anything longer than a couple of weeks. So he was basically taking that mentality and applying it to the way that he lived and said, that's me, man. I'm stone free. That's the type of character I am. And he came up with this pretty awesome B-side. Here's Stone Free.
Thank you.
crazy awesome. I mean, right out of the gate, it must have been like a single to turn heads. You know when that came out? That was released in England on December 16th, 1966. It's not even 1967 yet. And he's already basically making an incredible... I mean, the impression that this had in England was stupendous. Totally ignored in America. But it was, he was instantly huge. Now, that B-side, Stone Free, had very few overdubs. I mean, the cowbell was an overdub. And Hendrix, although he was shy about singing, double-tracked some of his vocals to add a couple of harmonies on top of his main vocal, with so he was doing all the singing on that, and that was about it. And like Jimmy, as far as the lyrics, his quote was, "Man, I stay one or two months in a place, and then I must have a change. I just get so restless, man. I might leave right away." And Jeff Beck, a guitar player who kind of like knows his stuff, thought that Stone Free was actually his favorite Jimi Hendrix song. He said, "It's got a bit of Buddy Guy. It sounds like Les Paul in places. Jimmy does every trick in the book and nails it all together so tight that you can't even see the joints." So, one single under his belt, and he's already playing in clubs that, well, let's see, what are they saying here? At this point in time, he starts to perform in clubs, and all of a sudden, people are showing up. In fact, there are crowds trying to get in to see Jimmy. He becomes like this overnight sensation. After being turned down by different managers and different record labels, he's on Track Records, and he's on his way. That song becomes a number six. It's a top 10 single, number six in Great Britain. And this brings him to the attention of Radio One, who brings him in for a live performance. The date for this recording is February 13th, 1967. There was a really cool CD that came out called Jimi Hendrix Experience, Radio One. It makes it a little bit awkward for me because what they did was there were five different times that he appeared on Radio One, and they distributed it on the CD in like the hodgepodge of ways. So I'm really trying my best to keep the everything in chronological order as much as possible regarding when it was actually, like when the single was released was in December. Now this radio performance is in February of 1967. So I'm thinking, okay, good. I grabbed all the songs from this specific show, and I don't really know what order they were played in. So it's just gonna have to happen in the order that I've had them arranged from the Radio 1 CD. The track is really, as far as they say, I believe that this is, what does Jimmy say about this next track? Love or Confusion. This is not raging music. It's some sort of blues. That's all I'm singing about. It's today's blues. It's also the only known live version of this song. It's called Love or Confusion. The sun, so bright. Liver Confusion, one of the tracks that we're going to be playing from Radio 1. I think today we're going to have seven of them. So, I'm taking some of the text, by the way, that I'm reading from a book which is simply called Jimmy, I believe, and it's by his stepsister, Janie Hendrix, and also John McDermott. It's just a chronicle. It's a huge book. It's very heavy. And a lot of information. So, with the frustration that Jimmy had endured prior to arriving in London, which we discussed quite vociferously on parts 1 to 3, Hendrix relished having found someone in Chaz Chandler who recognized his abilities and shared his determination. Chandler's steady encouragement generated a burst of creativity from Hendrix, and new songs began to flow in a steady stream. As Hendrix developed new material, Chandler pounced upon each original song, booking studio time based upon the readiness of new material. Terrific new songs like Fire and Foxy Lady were refined and stage-tested for audiences in clubs and theaters across Europe before eventually being added to the growing pile that Chandler would set aside for Hendrix's debut album. He also had those songs tested on Radio 1. Here is the Radio 1 version of Foxy Lady, a brand new song that he had just written before performing it on the radio.
Yeah!
keep in mind that this is before the Summer of Love. There was nothing like this happening anywhere in the world. And Jimmy's genius basically flowered like crazy in Britain. America still unaware. Now, he had a couple of tracks that he had been like playing live when he was in New York. So he was still using some of those in his set. And this is one of those tunes. It's a cover song. It's called Killing Floor. Out of nowhere. It's just, I mean, think about what we were doing. I mean, the first three shows that we did before this were really just a setup, but all of a sudden, now here we are, man. We are in the midst of like fermenting genius. He's writing, he's got these cover songs where he's playing super high energy, like Killing Floor, but he's writing songs like almost like a couple a week, and they're all of them are like just absolutely like pieces of genius. Of course, we heard, you know, Foxy Lady, Lover Confusion. Here's another one that was pretty much brand new by the time he appeared on Radio 1 in February of 1967. You know it. This is the song entitled Fire.
The Jimi Hendrix Experience sounding off again now with one of Jimmy's own called Fire.
You don't care for me, I don't care about that. Got a new fool, I like to laugh at. I have only one burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire. Let me stand next to your fire. Let me stand, baby. Oh, let me stand. Let me stand next to your fire. You got to let me stand.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Sure. Yeah. You say your mama ain't home, you can't let me in. Well, I had you before. Don't need you again. I have only one a burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand
next to your fire. Let me stand.
Let me stand
next to your fire.
Let me stand.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Oh yeah. Move over, Rover. And let Jimmy take over. You know what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
money, you better save it, babe. Save it for your rainy day. I have only one burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Listening to 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. The show is on Garden City, New York. I should say that. And the show is American Hit Radio. Actually, on Fridays, we call it How Music Changed because we pick specific topics and go real deep. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing here with Jimi Hendrix for a few weeks now. This is part four in our series. If you're interested in hearing the history that brought us to this point, there are 3 hours of shows, 3 shows, 1 hour each, at our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com, that you can check out and get the full early history of Jimi Hendrix up to this point in time. Because what you're hearing right now is pretty much a man on fire, like the lyric says. I mean, he was just literally burning to be famous, to basically be recognized. And he was so put down in America over and over and over again. He was never anything more than a session man. Nobody really knew who he was, remembered his name. His managers didn't know what to do with somebody like that because, after all, he's a guitar player. He wasn't a songwriter. He wasn't a singer. And nobody was trying to push him in that direction. So they had no real way to promote him. If it wasn't for Chaz Chandler to push Jimmy as hard as he did, maybe none of this would have ever happened. But Chaz, I mean, it's really hard to overestimate how important he was and how really gracious he was to basically put so much time and energy into helping Jimmy become a superstar and give him the proper frame of mind so that he could like write songs like Fire, like Foxy Lady, like Liver Confusion, or Purple Haze, for that matter, to eventually like have something which is so instantly unique. Here's an Eric Clapton quote. I have a lick that's better than Jeff Beck. Jeff Beck has a lick that's better than mine. But Jimi Hendrix is better than either of us. So, I mean, he changed overnight. He changed the world. He changed the music world in London, in England. Okay, we got a few more of the Radio 1 cuts that I want to play. We're going to hear this twice today because it will be his next single, but it was actually performed on Radio 1 before it was released as a single. So here, oh, by the way, the other thing to listen to is on this. This is what the chord was actually called, the Devil's Chord. This group of notes was considered to be evil in earlier times, because of the way that the notes played against each other. I mean, Hendrix loved it, and apparently so did his audience. You'll listen to Purple Haze, and you'll hear the chord that I'm talking about. Here's the live version.
This guy. find me. Just the end of time.
There's so much commentary about, well, two things, whether or not Jimmy was under the influence of psychedelics when he wrote the song. He absolutely denied it at the time. He said that he was like writing something that was coming from his head, ideas and dreams that he had. And his original lyrics, he said they went on for pages and pages and pages. He was just pouring things out, and eventually he had to boil it down to the bits that became the song. He goes, it's really hardly the song at all that I heard in my head, because I wanted to do so much more. And if he did admit that the song was influenced by psychedelic drugs, it would have been professional suicide, because nobody could admit it at this point in time without having serious backlash. So, you know, you would keep that to yourself one way or the other. The other thing is the lyrics. Even Hendrix was having fun with, you know, excuse me while I kiss the sky. He would himself in concert sometimes say, excuse me while I kiss this guy. You know, he would play with it. There was a story where he was like at one of his shows, there was like a near riot going on, and the police were trying to break it up while he was playing that song. And he sang, excuse me while I kiss that policeman. It's just, you know, Jimmy would have fun with it, you know? Well, we are at the point now, I got two more tracks to play for Radio 1, and there are songs that we've already played, because, of course, he's going to play his single if he's going to be on the radio, both the A-side and the B-side. So we'll play them both now, back-to-back. We'll play the Radio 1 version of Stone Free, followed by the Radio 1 version of his only hit single, at this point in time. This is amazing. I mean, all these songs that we're hearing, if you were living in Great Britain at this time, the only thing that you really could have heard, unless you were lucky enough to hear him live, would have been if you bought the 45 and heard Hey Joe and Stone Free, or heard them being played on the radio, because that's all that was available. And now he's on Radio 1, and you're hearing this unbelievable barrage of incredibly beautiful insanity. It's almost too much. So here's the Radio 1 version of those same two tracks live.
Talk about me like a dog. Talk about the clothes I wear, but they don't realize they're the ones who swear.
Listen here, baby. Woman here, woman there, trying to keep me in a plastic cage. But they don't realize it's so easy to break. Yeah, but sometimes I can feel my heart kind of getting hot. That's when I got to move before I come. So take this, that's why. We'll be right back.
And so much for the February of 1967 appearance of Jimi Hendrix on Radio 1, pretty much changing the world in overnight, really, with that performance on Radio 1. If you're interested at all in Jimi Hendrix, I highly recommend that you find the CD on Ryko Disc. It's just simply called Jimi Hendrix Experience Radio 1. It's astounding, as you can tell. I mean, you've just heard about maybe 25 or 30% of what is on that disc, and we will be playing the rest of it as we get to that point in time when he, like I said, chronologically, I'm doing my best to try to keep things in order. So, speaking of which, when he played Hey Joe around this point in time, he was actually, like, if you saw him live, he'd actually be playing the solo with his teeth a lot of the time, which is like, I'm freaking people out. It's just too much all at the same time. So in March of 1967, Jimi Hendrix and the Experience were out on a package tour across Britain with Cat Stevens and the Walker Brothers. The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore was their hit at that point in time, and Engelbert Humperdinck. Jimi Hendrix touring with those three, among others. With the tour, Chandler was hoping to catapult Hendrix into the mainstream, obviously, elevating the Experience from the club circuit and introducing the band to a broader demographic. And it was working. The single, Hey Joe, which at this point in time is still on the charts after a couple of months, rose to number 6 in the UK, and they were ready to put out their next single, which was Purple Haze. Now, he had already performed it on the radio, and so they were now putting it together. And again, they call it the Hendrix chord. And I don't know, I mean, to talk about, I think it's called a E dominant 7th sharp 9. So it's, I guess it's like so remarkably atonal that it is totally outside of what other people would have been doing. And Hendrix, when he talks about the lyrics, he goes, you know that song we had named Purple Haze? It had about 1,000 words. I had it all written out. It was about going through this land, this mythical, because that's what I like to do, is write a lot of mythical scenes, you know, like the history of the wars on Neptune. So that's what he was going for. He was just making up some sort of fantastical thing. This single, Purple Haze, often voted as the number one all-time greatest guitar song ever. It was his third single. Went to number 3 in the UK. Here it is. We'll be right back. the A side of Hendrix's second amazing single, Purple Haze. Like I said, number three in the UK. America waited three more months before they would release it. Hey Joe, when they released that in May, didn't chart at all in America. And Purple Haze kind of bombed at number 65. So still, nothing happening, like almost crickets in America. Now, this is a song, the B-side of Purple Haze on the 45, is actually a bit of a rarity in America because it didn't appear in any of his albums, and it was mostly just the B-side of Purple Haze. And we'll close out with this pretty cool B-side. It's a song called 51st Anniversary. Tune in next week, and we're going to be playing the entirety of the Are You Experienced album, the British version. I hope you can see you then next Friday. Have a good one, folks. Enjoy the weekend. Bye-bye.
Love the internet.